Hey, this is Callie Jansen, the current news and PSA director at WIQH. As a radio station, we have the ability to share the stories we air throughout the Concord-Carlisle community and beyond. We feel that it is our obligation to focus on issues of injustice in our country and highlight the experiences of students of color. In the following program, you'll hear from leaders of the Intersections Club at Concord-Carlisle High School, a club founded to celebrate culture and promote diversity and inclusivity at our school. Stay tuned for the first of a series of discussions on the importance of diversity at a predominantly white institution, issues with racism in our community, and the ongoing fight for racial justice in the world. After listening, head over to WIQH.org and look under Activism Resources to find ways to get involved through a variety of local and national resources.
Hi, everyone. We are the Intersections Club, and today we have a few of our initial members who are rising seniors here to talk about current events in our world, community, and our school. My name is Vicky.
I'm Akshaya.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Joe.
I'm JJ.
So we formed the Intersections Club after attending the EDCO Leadership Conference, and that was with Vicky, Akshaya, and I. And there we address issues of racial injustice, our identities, and how we can become better allies. So when we came back to CC, we realized that there was so much that other schools had, like clubs such as diversity panels, the Black Student Union, and we realized that our school was clearly lacking a club that focused on highlighting diversity.
So yeah, like Stephanie said, we wanted to create a space at CC where we could highlight, you know, just everyone's different backgrounds and promote inclusion of like different groups at CCHS in an effort to like better educate our school community to embrace the idea that, you know, individual identities intersect and overlap, and the fact that our backgrounds and identities do matter.
So Akshaya, Stephanie, and I all signed up for EDCO, and this was our sophomore year, and it was really the first experience of me reaching out to learn more about culture and like people's experiences. And it really like took off from there for me personally, of being interested in other people's stories and hearing other people's perspectives, because obviously, you know, I see the world through my own lens of being an Asian American female. And I saw myself a lot of times in the light of like, oh, you're like a minority or something. But then after talking to other people and really hearing stories, it just gives you so much more perspective on like the actual situation at hand. And it makes you feel like you can do something because there are things to be done. And I think that at CC, like going through school, every day was the same, like every day was fine. Nothing terrible ever happened. But I think that's like the scary part, is just going through the same cycle and not fixing the things that are just going ignored or unnoticed, because it seems like it's not a big issue. But again, like it's just gonna build up, and in the end, something bad might happen, or like a racist incident such as the thing that happened in your school will happen. And it just, in the end, it can like build to a negative energy of not being an actual supportive environment, rather than just like a place where everything just gets tolerated.
Just to kind of follow up with like a point Vicky said about how like every day you can go on like and it feels normal and fine and nothing really happens. Like I personally, like as a Black student in Concord, like I feel that too. There are some days where I'm like, oh, everything's fine. Like it's okay. Like I have my own like blinders on. But there'll be little things that, like, I catch, like, someone saying something that's, like, not racist, but it's kind of problematic one way or another, and you just, like, I'll hear it, and I'm like, okay, but it's fine, like, it wasn't directed at me, like, I'm fine, it's whatever. It's, like, just going throughout my day, just, like, not trying to pick up on those little instances, and then it all just boils over into the racist incident that we experienced that happened in Concord, and then that's when I'm, like, forced to notice that, like, not everything is okay. And I know that's probably hard for some people, because they're like, oh, something like this like hasn't happened in a really long time, or it won't happen here, until it's become like this big thing that you can't ignore.
So with the short duration of our club being formed, we've held various events at school to shed light on the different backgrounds at CC And our most recent and most exciting event was probably organizing the socially distant Black Lives Matter demonstration in the Concord Rotary. So does anyone want to speak on that?
Yeah, I can say something. So we really wanted the demonstration to be an opportunity for people to be socially distant and show their support for their movement while also spreading useful information. So it was planned in a very short notice. It was like less than a week that we planned it. And we were really happy with the turnout. We got like more than 60 people to come out with their family and with friends. And it was super awesome to see everybody there.
And that being said, you know, there was a lot of great support from the community and the people who drove by. But unfortunately, there were a couple disrespectful people who were rude and who made somewhat ignorant comments. And I think that just goes to show that you can't really please everybody and that there's still a lot of improvement that can be made, especially within our community, something that, you know, a lot of us don't really look at.
I think it's worth mentioning how hard it is to get people to actually show up. These past few weeks, while people have started posting more on social media, it's not enough unless they put in the work to support it. Slacktivism has been a big topic recently where people can easily post on social media, but do not take steps for actual change, such as signing petitions, protesting, donating to the cause. While raising awareness is important, they're definitely not enough on their own.
Just to move along from that, another big event that recently happened was our school's recent racist incident. It's so disappointing that in a time when the Black Lives Matter movement is at its peak and is getting a lot of traction, it's like something like this occurs and comes up, and it's like a reflection of like all the turmoil that's happening in our country and in our entire world. And it's just really disappointing to see.
You know, I'm not that surprised. I also faced a racial event during my time at CC with a staff member, and it was to quickly go over. It was just me and my friends sitting down after school, and we were all of Black people, and we were sitting around talking, and the person came over and told us that we need to keep quiet. We were quiet. She came over and said that we need to keep quiet because she knows how our people act and didn't want to have to deal with us because she was tired that day and didn't want to have to deal with people being loud, our people being loud. So that was a very eye-opening event for me.
That's really unfortunate, and I'd say it's also really scary or worrying to think about all the cases of racism at our school that haven't been reported, because there's so many microaggressions that occur, but they go unnoticed because they seem minor or irrelevant to people. And it's just another thing that people don't know about and they don't think about because it doesn't apply to them and because they're not part of this background, so they feel like they don't have to care. But the thing is that tolerating this kind of attitude will just create a community that fosters racism at any degree.
And definitely, like, to add on to that, I feel like CC is almost like a microcosm of our country at this point, because with George Floyd's death, until people saw a police officer using like such brutal force, people were fine living their lives, ignoring like the real and pressing issues plaguing both like the Black and Brown communities every single day. So similar to how like people in our country are finally speaking up about like change that needs to happen on a structural level, I think we also need to address issues that we've just been putting like a band-aid on, because there's so many things that happen on a day-to-day basis that like no one talks about at CC.
Going into that, it's really just a big thing about like changes that you can make within your own small communities. Like Akshaya said, like CCHS is a microcosm of like our entire country. So like you can, like, even little impacts even in your own friend group. And like, I know for some people they might not feel comfortable calling out their friends, but if you do truly know what's happening is wrong, that you may just need to have that one conversation or just need to call one person out and say what you did was not okay, just to spread the knowledge that there are certain behaviors that are no longer acceptable in our community.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to mention is that the lack of like teacher diversity as well. I know this is like a bigger issue, and I know it's something that like the district has talked about, like actively trying to hire people of different backgrounds. But the fact that, you know, we live in like a pretty, well, I don't live, but we go to a school in a pretty wealthy town, and there really isn't that much affordable housing. So I know a lot of teachers who do commute in, so it's kind of interesting to see that it's all connected. in that way.
Yeah, and you know, it's something else along those lines I want to comment is that I don't think I've ever been in a math class with a MECO student, and that's just leaving out like a whole demographic of people who aren't able to interact with people of not the same background. And maybe this is another example of systematic racism at play here.
Honestly, I think it's worth mentioning that there are no MECO kids in honors math that I know of, so I'm gonna just leave that there.
But like, to further what Stephanie's saying, like, it's not even just that. CC as a whole lacks representation in the teaching staff or even in the greater staff in general. I think that just contributes to some of the negative attitudes and like racist behaviors that students overlook in our community, because they don't get to interact with like people of color on like a larger basis in their school, like in their time in school.
Yeah. Going off of what Stephanie said about seeing no MECO students in honor math, I think that with us, it's a much different experience. I know Dallas and Stephanie can speak on this experience, but as a MECO student, it's very different from being a Concord student, obviously. I mean, we have to wake up very early in the morning, and if you do a sport or anything after school, we get home very late, and then we're expected to do the same amount of work as our fellow Concord students who get home in like 10 minutes, right, after school ends, if not doing a sport, or even after the sport, get home pretty early, at least when the sun is still up. And they can do their homework quickly and then go home and go to bed on time. But with me, it's like I can get home at 8 and I have a 4-hour homework load, and I have a test tomorrow as well that I've studied for. So I'm going to bed at like 1 or 1:30 in the morning, waking up at 5:30 to repeat the whole thing again. So I think that, and that's not really a problem that the school can solve really. I mean, I think that, but when it comes to treatment of students of color from MECO, I think that it needs to be a little more lighter. I think that, you know, when a student from MECO says that they couldn't have gotten it done because they were just so tired, or, you know, if we seem a little low on that day, I think teachers should know in their head that at least that we are trying, but we are so tired and we have so much to do, but less amount of time. I know that some of my friends have even fallen asleep in class and they can't help it because they're just so tired every time to do the same things as their fellow Concord students. So I think that when you look at MECO students, there needs to be a level of understanding, you know, understand our struggle, understand when we say that we're very tired, understand when we voice what's happening to us, because I think a lot of the times when we do say something, people always try to find a way to undermine that and say that, you know, try to show that we're not struggling. It's just we're not trying hard enough, and that's not true. I think that when it comes to Concord people, they don't see the struggle. People always tell me, oh, I wake up at 5:30 and I'm doing fine and I don't complain about it. But it's like, I'm waking up at 5. You do that because, you know, it's a choice really for you, because you live so close, you live in Concord, but we don't.
Wait, Dallas, were you going to say something earlier?
Oh, yeah. Joseph just made a point about how, like, people choose to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and it just reminded me of a conversation that I had with a Concord student when I was, like, talking about, like, me being, like, really tired, because in the winter I play for the hockey team, and we had a late, really late game, and then I had a test to study for when I got home, and I was just, like, I woke up in the morning and I was at school and I was just like, oh, I feel so beat. I feel so tired. And then a Concord student said to me like, oh, but you choose to come to Concord for school. And I was just like, well, no, you don't choose to go to Concord. Like, when you apply to be in the MECO program, you don't really get a choice of what school you're placed into. It's more like, I think it's like described as like a lottery system now. Like, you get placed into a school no matter how far it could be from your actual home. And I feel like people in Concord or Carlisle may have like this idea in their head that like when you apply into the MECO program, you get to choose a place that you can go to, but there are so many other MECO programs in Massachusetts that are closer to Boston. And I know like Concord is really far, like it's extremely far from Boston. I think it's one of the farthest MECO schools. And like you, for students in Concord, they didn't necessarily choose to go to Concord. Like that was a place that they were put into. So like, just the idea of someone saying to me, like, you choose to go to Concord, it was just, like, a little bit, like, you truly don't understand the process of being a MECO student.
Does anybody sort of want to talk about microaggressions that they have seen at school or, you know, they have experienced?
Yeah, I can speak on something that honestly confuses me. Does anyone notice how teachers or people in general always confuse Asian girls, especially at the beginning of the year, which I get, like, when names are hard, but the confusion seems to last longer than for most people. And I used to be like, oh, it's not a big deal. But actually, there's only, like, 5 Asian girls in our grade, and maybe there's some science behind the difficulty of differentiating Asian girls, but sometimes it just, like, makes you feel like you're blending in with 5 people, which sounds pretty ridiculous to me. Yeah,
girl, that's crazy. And I don't know, I feel like to add another example of a personal experience, like, I was once applying to something, and after I got in, my friend said it was because I was, like, diverse, and I fill in the diversity requirements. And at that point, like, I did not know what to say. But when I thought about it again, I realized, like, it's little instances like that where I start doubting my own achievements as well. I don't think it's fair, like, for someone to amount your success to just your skin color. So I think it's on all of us to, like, look at our own beliefs and see how they could contribute to a culture of hostility, like, even if you did mean it as a joke.
Also, like, for me, like, this isn't even a joke. I think the one that I get most often is, you're pretty for a black girl, which is, like, the most backhanded compliment I think I've ever received in my life. And I don't think people have, like, bad intentions when they say it or say stuff like that, but in the moment, I just feel, like, extremely shocked and really upset and hurt. And I mean, like, I'm pretty on a good day, but to add for a black girl is a little, like, demeaning, I guess. And the worst part is, like, all you can really say is, like, thank you, because you don't want to be rude, and you're just put in a really uncomfortable position, because you're like, oh, you're saying I'm pretty, but, like, do you think I'm really pretty, or do you think I'm pretty enough for my race? Like,
honestly, Dallas, me, but, like, not even on a good day. So, but I think it goes beyond ignorant teenagers, because, like, the biases and subtle comments can happen with our teachers as well. I guess I'm wondering if we think that our faculty and our teachers are culturally competent, or at least trying to bring awareness to racial issues within our classroom to make, like, the community as a whole better.
So I'll speak to that a little bit, because, you know, I actually think that the faculty is sort of working hard to improve themselves. And, you know, I think that they're trying to make their classrooms as inclusive as possible, which is obviously difficult in a place where we have very little diversity. But, you know, just because it's hard doesn't mean that you do something. Like, it's hard to work racial issues into a math or a physics problem, but that doesn't mean that you don't try. I think that the teachers need to remember that it's, you know, putting in that effort every single day to make sure that everybody's feeling included and to make sure that their own actions are, you know, justified and aren't racist at all. And I think that it's, you know, them being culturally aware that really shows an example to the kids, because all of the students sort of look up to the teachers. You know, the teachers are giving them information on you know, social studies, on English, on physics. You know, why shouldn't they be giving them information on how to act properly in a community? Yeah. So
I don't know, to go into, like, a specific incident with a teacher, I had a class where, when my teacher was talking about the British people colonizing India, my teacher called me out specifically to share my opinion, which was just so awkward because I'm not Indian, but I'm actually Sri Lankan, so I had to correct them on the spot. But the bigger issue was, like, not only did my teacher assume my ethnicity, but they expected me to speak on the experiences of a whole country. I think it, like, goes without saying, it was a teaching moment, and I understood that my teacher meant no harm, but it was, like, something that always, like, stuck with me, to have, like, people always, like, thinking of my skin color and assuming things about me.
Yeah, so definitely. I definitely think that it's, you know, those small instances and those small little attitudes that make up the larger issue as a whole. And so I think that some of you might remember the Mr. Joy play that came to CCHS last year. And so we actually got a chance to work behind the scenes with the producers of that play to sort of see what that whole story was about, you know, what impact it was trying to make in our community. And so for those of you who didn't really know, it was about a man named Mr. Joy and an instance where he was shot and killed. And Basically, it was trying to show us that our prejudices and our small, actions and our assumptions about other people can really influence the way that we act and the things that we do. And I think it ties in well with sort of what's happening today, because, in these little instances of racism and intolerance that we've seen occurring that become larger issues and, things to the point that somebody gets hurt, I think that those small little pieces of intolerance that people are seeing in our community are really what's making up that larger issue. And I think that as long as we're addressing it in our community when it's still something small, we'll be okay. But as soon as we let it get out of hand, then we come up with a larger issue like what we've been seeing in the past few months. And I think that that's something important to remember because, it's the little things. It's really those little things that we do every day that make the major difference.
Yeah, and I also think that the Mr. Joy play coming to Concord was definitely a really good experience for us especially. But I think we can all say that, at the showing at night with adults and actual community members, the attendance was a lot lower than we expected and hoped for. And I think it just really reflects on how our community pushes aside racial issues. And the play outwardly described that it was going to talk about issues like stereotypes and different backgrounds. And then of course the turnout wasn't that big. But I think that the few people that were there, we were able to hold a really interesting conversation about instances that they faced. We talked to a lady who was in a relationship with a Black person, and the little things that she notices as a white woman in the town of Concord while her husband is Black, and really getting to dive into people's experiences in the town and hearing the people who come to the event or those who are actually interested and wanting to learn more. But it's unfortunate that the people who should probably hear the message weren't able to show up and weren't able to get the benefits of it.
Yeah, lack of diversity in faculty, lack of representation from POC is just another example of systematic racism. I've talked about this issue before in a TEDx speech I did previously last year at the high school. And I've also spoken about the issue with higher ups at our school who have said to me that they are trying their best to increase diversity in their staff. But to me personally, I still don't think enough is being done to solve the issue. It's not just about hiring people of color every single time they apply to an open position here. It's figuring out why people of color, teachers and staff, aren't applying to work here. What is making them so uncomfortable with applying to work here? And figuring that out, to me, will be a step in the right direction.
To kind of jump on one of the points that Joe made about why people of color aren't applying to work here, at least with me personally, my mom works in the district, and we live in Boston, so she really talked about how there aren't that many people of color who live in a suburban community like Concord or near Concord or around Concord. And one thing that may be turning them off to working here is possibly the commute. But if there's a one way or another to add that, it's an incentive, because I know other teachers, not necessarily just teachers of color, do work out of district, and they're taking time out of their day to commute to work here, which is something that they could possibly be rewarded for in one way or another, because they're taking time out of their life to come here and teach our community, which is a thing that is great because they're seeing Concord as a good community to work in and a good group of kids to teach. So maybe if the district could one way or another find a way to incentivize people coming into Concord to teach, just to promote possibly more POCs coming in. We could also talk about resources that we could recommend or suggest for people to learn more about cultural competency. For me personally, I know a lot of people have access to Netflix or Hulu or other streaming services, and there are a lot of good documentaries or shows that they can watch to learn more about not necessarily only the Black experience in America, but the experience of different cultures and races. If anyone has any resources they want to throw out there. So for me personally, I'm a very visual learner or visual, I like more visual experiences. So I've been gravitating towards a lot of documentaries on Netflix and Hulu. And one that I really, really enjoy so far is like 13th on Netflix. And it talks about like the 13th Amendment and the connection to like the prison system in America. And it just talks a lot about the historical Black experience and how like there are some laws that are in place here that are just inherently like unjust or are inherently unjust and just don't help or like in one way or another oppress Black people in America. And I just think it's really informative and it's really well made and really well done. So if people do like visual stuff like I do, that's a really good place to start.
Yeah, I've also seen some good places that people can go to sort of educate themselves. And I mean, personally, I've just been reading the New York Times and almost at least every other day, they have an article on how a Black person has, you know, less opportunity or rights compared to a white person. And one that I saw recently was about banking and how when like a Black person walks into a bank, they're like almost always automatically assumed to be like committing fraud or, you know, doing something that's like gonna threaten the people in the bank. And I think that that's just really outrageous because, you know, I had no idea that that was actually happening. And, you know, I could just never see something like that happening in a bank that I go to. But I mean, it's like small town banks, like a bank like in Concord could be something where, you know, somebody walks in and they want to show like multiple forms of identification. They want to be like, no, I'm actually depositing this check and somebody's still gonna accuse them of committing fraud. And so I think that, you know, even just like for people who want to just read something really short, like it was a maybe like one page in the New York Times. And I think that just going and finding those small little things is also good. Like you don't have to go and do something for multiple days. You can just read something small in the news.
And for me, I have definitely enjoyed watching movies and also reading books. But the most effective thing for me has definitely been talking and have like hearing other people's stories. I know that in like our club, we've had a lot of conversations that have just like gone into race and our community and what we can do. And just like hearing my like friends' experiences of racism, it just goes to show how like real it is in our own town. And the biggest thing for me, I think, after reading more and learning more about the topic, is the range that racism can, you know, take form in. I think that in America, there's a huge disparity between, like, oh, East Coast, West Coast, and then, like, the middle of America. And people tend to think that racism, like, being racist just means, like, oh, you're a white supremacist, or, like, you're a terrible person. But I think that a lot of people in the East Coast or West Coast that tend to be more liberal just claim that, oh, I'm not racist, because the image of racism that they have, the stereotype of a racist person is like a person who is a white supremacist and like hate is like a whole hater on a bunch of different things. But I think when I realized that, you know, racism isn't like that, obviously there are microaggressions, there are little things that build up, and that all contributes to the whole term of what racism means.
Okay, so to wrap it up, we hope our stories and discussions give you like at least a little bit of insight or like perspective into some of like the minority students at CC. And we wanted to bring up like light to at least the few issues that we've noticed while being here. So we definitely did not mean to attack anyone, and we only spoke from our own experiences. But I think the biggest thing is we want to encourage conversations like this within the whole community, because this is just the start of change coming to CC.
Yeah, and I have to agree. I think that our school is a really great place, and there are obviously efforts now coming in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. But obviously something to be aware of is like, why now? How come we haven't been thinking about this in the past? And I also want to thank anyone who hopped on to listen to us today. And I'll end it with a quote from White Fragility explaining the significance of prejudice and discrimination in communities. And I quote, "Most of us can acknowledge that we do feel some unease around certain groups of people. Our unease comes from living separate from a group of people while simultaneously absorbing incomplete or erroneous information about them. Prejudice always manifests itself in action because the way I see the world drives my actions in the world. Thank you.